Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To begin with counters, I have no idea how much change I've just put into the thing. I should say the children put in, because I gave them the money and they gave it all. Grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are continuing in the series of Building a Legacy. Then the next 2 weeks we'll talk about prayer. Then we'll come back with 2 more weeks of Building a Legacy. Last week we started the journey, a legacy worth following, with the key is the heart. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Loving God. Take a moment and think about that. Mull it over in your heart. Do you really love God? Really wrestle with that. Do you really love God? This is not a silly question, nor one to be answered. Well, of course I love God. Remember, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you truly love me?" This is more than a feeling called love. This is an action of love. A heart that loves the Lord is a heart that acts. Action that stretches your faith. Action that may take you places you never dreamed you would be. Action that changes priorities. An action that focuses on the kingdom of God more than what's in it for me. Seeing things in a kingdom of God way with eternity in mind. A heart that loves the Lord, a heart that truly loves the Lord, is a heart that grows in generosity for the things of the kingdom of God. Having a heart more interested in providing for the things of God and the kingdom of God than providing and accumulating for oneself. We admire people who strive for the kingdom of God. Mother Teresa, caring for the poor, giving of herself. The many missionaries who gave of themselves throughout the world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, giving all to build the kingdom of God. Today's reading, we heard about 2 women who gave. Both gave very precious gifts to the Lord. Both gave from their little all they had to the kingdom of God. Giving that you and I can do too. We also can give all. Showing through action that our heart is worshiping the Lord our God. Showing your heart truly loves God. Mark chapter 12, Jesus is in the temple, and he has just answered the scribe about the greatest commandment. Now, it's very interesting how Mark is giving this testimony about Jesus throughout chapter 12. After the scribe had his interaction with Jesus, Mark records that no one dared to ask Jesus any more questions. Then Mark goes on to write, Jesus started asking questions of those around him concerning the Christ and his relationship to the King David. And Jesus keeps asking these questions, and the crowd listens to him with delight. Then after those questions, Jesus gives a warning about the teachers of the law, a warning about the pretense that they make, parading around with flowing robes, being noticed in the marketplace, the most important seats in the synagogue, and places of honor at banquets. Jesus said, "Watch out They devour widows' houses and show off with long prayers. Punishment will be theirs. The religious leaders are all show, and they do not truly love the Lord with all their heart. Mark chapter 12 is about a heart loving the Lord. And then you come to the widow at the end of Mark 12. The contrast of all the flowing appearances of the teachers of the law and a widow. Remember when Samuel was sent to Jesse's home to anoint the king that would take the place of Saul as king? And how that first son of Jesse came walking by, and Samuel saw him and just marveled at the way that young man looked, his height, his stature, his strength. Surely that's the Lord, the one the Lord has chosen to be king, Samuel thinks to himself. But the Lord showed Samuel, don't look at the outside. Look at the heart. His heart is not the right heart. It's written in 1 Samuel chapter 16, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. More on this Samuel in a moment, but really focus on Jesus in the temple. After that warning about pretense and show, Jesus sits down and starts watching the temple treasury. A teaching moment for his disciples to contrast what we see to what is really taking place spiritually in a heart. Many would show gave large offerings from their large resources. Then a poor widow comes and places the smallest of 2 copper coins. She gave all. And Jesus noticed. Have you ever considered, as the offering plate is passed to receive your offering to the Lord, that Jesus may be watching, like he was watching the offerings in the temple years ago? And as he was watching, what would Jesus say as he turned to the disciples, as you gave your offering? It's a challenging question to consider. The widow loved the Lord her God and gave all she had. Her heart truly loved the Lord. And the widow showed her love through the action of her giving all. And the Lord saw it. Keep the widow's action of love in mind as we now turn our attention to Hannah. Hannah's heart was hurting. Crying out before the Lord in such agony, bitterness of soul, praying and weeping much before the Lord. Hannah was praying for a son. Eli, the high priest, noticed her lips moving, but no words coming from her mouth. Eli thought she was drunk. Hebrews, when they prayed, they would pray out loud. They would move their lips and words would come. And so Hannah praying with lips moving but no words, Eli thinks she's drunk. But she was in such pain in her soul, she couldn't speak the words. Hannah was agonizing before the Lord, and Eli told her to stop getting drunk. But she answered back, she was not drunk, but pouring her soul out to the Lord. Eli blessed her. Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant what you have asked of him. Now, really get this into your mind. It's important. Hannah praying in agony of her soul And as she's praying in agony for a son, she's making a promise that if the Lord gives her that son, she would turn around and give that son to the Lord for all of that young boy into manhood his entire life. The boy would be dedicated, set apart as a Nazarite, set apart from birth. No razor will touch his head. The boy will belong to the Lord all the days of his life. This was not bargaining with the Lord. This was offering to give back to the Lord what the Lord first gives her, a son. Hannah gives birth to a son, her only child, after being barren for many years and mocked for many years. Now, in her arms is the greatest of joy, an answer to her prayers, the tenderness of cuddling and feeding her baby boy. And as he grows, the day to fulfill her vow comes closer. You and I can learn a tremendous lesson from Hannah here. When her son was weaned, she takes her son to serve the Lord. Her son, Samuel. The little boy she agonized in prayer for, her only child, with no guarantee of more children after this boy. She is now taking him before the Lord to live before the Lord and serve before the Lord always. Hannah is giving her most precious heart possession to live at the tabernacle. Samuel could have been as young as 3 years old or as old as 6 years old. As they come to the temple, they offer the sacrifice. Then Hannah reminds Eli, the high priest, that she was the one who prayed. And this boy, her son, was the answer to a prayer the Lord granted. And now she gives her son to the Lord for his whole life. I could not imagine taking either one of my daughters and leaving them somewhere else to live and grow. Could you? That is exactly what Hannah did. Hannah gave all she had. In the years that Hannah had her son, she taught her son to love the Lord as she loved the Lord. And notice the first thing that Samuel did at the tabernacle. He worshiped the Lord. It was Samuel who turns and falls prostrate before the Lord in worship. Not Eli, the high priest. It was Samuel, the young boy. Keep that in mind for the moment. A legacy of generosity. We have seen two women who loved the Lord and gave their all. Is there a time that you gave to the Lord in such a fashion? If not, why not? To give in this fashion truly takes a new heart, a heart that only Christ can give. Yes, it takes a transformed heart by the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. If you find yourself challenged in generosity, perhaps, just perhaps, you have not fully experienced the generosity of God's grace in your soul. Begin first by realizing what the Lord wants to give to you. Complete forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ. The Lord wants to give to you a redeemed life in Jesus Christ. A brand new life. You are redeemed by God, and He wants to give you a home in heaven to be with Him, the Father, forever. God gives first. Robert Murray McShane, Scottish pastor of St. Peter's Church in Dundee, Scotland, in the 1830s and 1840s, once preached a sermon. And a portion of that sermon, he said this: "There are many hearing me who now know well that they are not Christians because they do not love to give. To give largely and liberally, not grudging at all, requires a new heart." What Robert McShane was making clear is that it takes a redeemed and transformed heart to give largely and liberally and generously. Also remember, it's not the size of the gift. It is the fullness of the gift, given all from the heart, as the widow gave. Giving all the most precious from the heart, as Hannah gave. Like them, you can do the same. C.S. Lewis writes in Mere Christianity, "I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I am afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. In other words, if our expenditure on comforts, luxuries, amusements, etc., is up to the standard common among those with the same income as our own, we are probably giving away too little. If our charities do not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say they are too small. There ought to be things we should like to do and cannot do because our charitable expenditures exclude them." And then he also writes in Mere Christianity, "Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you." C.S. Lewis understood a Christian's life is to be all of life surrendered to God, including how he used money and other resources given to him. As the royalties from C.S. Lewis's books poured into him, Lewis did not increase his standard of living. Instead, he decided to maintain his current standard of living and give the rest away. For example, the royalties for the Screwtape Letters were sent to the Clergy Widows Fund. It's not about raising your standard of living. Raise your standard of giving. Generosity to the things of the kingdom of God flow from a heart and a life surrendered to the things of God. Hannah gave her son Samuel. Samuel became the leader of Israel before the Lord, the last great judge, prophet, leader before King Saul was asked for by the people, and King David was chosen by God. A.W. Tozer writes, "As base a thing as money often is, yet it can be transmuted into everlasting treasure. It can be converted into food for the hungry and clothing for the poor. It could keep a missionary actively winning lost men to the light of the gospel and thus transmute itself into heavenly values. Any temporal possession can be turned into everlasting wealth. Whatever is given to Christ is immediately touched with immortality." This picture that A.W. Tozer paints may be exactly what you need to hear and see for a legacy of generosity to grow more quickly and profoundly in your life. Do not see your offering you place in the offering plate as paying the bills of the church. See your offering as building the kingdom of God. See your offering as advancing and growing the kingdom of God feeding the poor, clothing the naked, giving a place of shelter to those who have no home, and taking the gospel light of Jesus Christ where the souls are lost in the darkness of sin. That's what your offering to the Lord is doing. It is a gift to the kingdom of God. See your offering bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost world. See your offering as God's grace reaching out to another lost soul. See your offering, the money you place in the offering plate as you worship, undergo a transformation from the temporal of this world to the eternal of the world to come. See yourself building the kingdom of God, building treasures in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Through the generosity of the men and others today, we will have a feast coming after worship and fellowship together. Through the generosity of Faith in Christ, men, women, and children of Interfaith Hospitality Network are being blessed. Through the generosity of Faith in Christ, in the coming weeks, people will be blessed in Caldwell, Ohio. Through the generosity of Faith in Christ, 18 bicycles were purchased a few years ago for missionaries in India. Untold numbers have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ through our generosity. Through the generosity of faith in Jesus Christ, a well for fresh drinking water was built in a village in India. Untold numbers of people have been blessed with clean water. And as they pump the water, they see the words, "Jesus well," and scripture verse as they're getting water for physical life. They're introduced to the water of eternal life. That's happening because of your generosity to the kingdom of God. Through the generosity of faith in Christ, two churches have been built. Untold numbers have been blessed through us in India. Untold numbers have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And think about this. Untold numbers of missionaries have been raised up in those two churches. And the blessing goes on and on and on because of the generosity of faith in Christ. I believe, and I invite you to believe, we can do much, much more. Love from the heart in action through giving to build the kingdom of God. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he..." "That he gave his only son." You see, love gives. John 3:16, everybody together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love gives. How do you love like this?
through generosity. Grow a heart of loving generosity. The widow gave her all. Hannah gave her all. You can give your all by the power of the living God that has redeemed you. You can give your all. Your heart can be transformed by the power of the living God who's poured mercy and grace into you. And that same power will enable you to love God and love your neighbor and build the kingdom of God through your offering, your generosity to the Lord. Amen.